Now a blue sign hurtles through space toward a green planet. Turner. Now in a black and white film, sparks shoot out of a radio transmitter atop the revolving Earth. An RKO radio picture. Titles appear. RKO Radio Pictures Incorporated presents Katharine Hepburn and Cary Grant. In Howard Hawks' production of Bringing Up Baby. Copyright 1938, RKO Radio Pictures Incorporated. This film is described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH, Boston. Described by Samantha Manahan. Read by Rena Baskin. Funded by the U.S. Department of Education. For more information about DVS, call toll-free 1-800-333-1203 or write to our email address, dvs@wgbh.org. Titles continue with Charlie Ruggles, Walter Catlett, Barry Fitzgerald, Mae Robson, Fritz Feld, and others. Screenplay by Dudley Nichols and Hagar Wild. From the story by Hagar Wild. Musical director, Roy Webb. Associate producer, Cliff Reed. Directed by Howard Hawks. Now, inside the Stuyvesant Museum of Natural History, a gray-haired man enters an exhibit hall where a primly dressed woman works near a giant dinosaur skeleton.
Good morning, Miss Warren. Why, what's this?
Dr. Huxley is thinking.
Up on scaffolding near the dinosaur's head, a man sits holding a bone, his cleft chin propped on his fist. Wearing round, black-rimmed glasses, he shakes his head.
Alice, I think this one must belong in the tail.
Nonsense. You tried it in the tail yesterday and it didn't fit.
Oh, yes, that's right. I did, didn't I?
Oh, David, it's a telegram for you from Utah. It's from the expedition.
Oh, the expedition? Open it. I'll be right down. Gee whiz.
He hurriedly climbs down a ladder.
David, they found it. They found it, David.
Not the intercostal chemical.
It's on its way here.
Let me see.
Be here tomorrow.
Oh, just think of it, Professor. The last bone we needed to complete the brontosaurus, the very last bone, the intercostal clavicle, is arriving tomorrow after 4 years' hard work.
Congratulations, my boy.
Oh, isn't it great? I can hardly believe it. Oh, Alice.
He kisses her.
Really, David, there's a time and place for everything. What would Professor Latouche say?
After all, my dear, you're getting married tomorrow.
Yes, I know we are.
Oh, yeah, really? That's right. We're getting married tomorrow. Hey, isn't that odd? Two such important things happening on the same day.
I think the occasion calls for a celebration.
Oh, don't you worry, Professor. We're going to celebrate. We're going to go away directly we've been married.
Going away? Why, what are you thinking of, David? After receiving this telegram?
Oh, well, we planned it.
Why, as soon as we're married, we're coming directly back here and you're going on with your work.
Oh, well, Alice, gee, well...
Now, once and for all, David, nothing must interfere with your work.
Oh.
Our marriage must entail no domestic entanglements of any kind.
You mean
of any kind, David.
Oh, well, Alice, I was sort of hoping... Well, you mean children and all that sort of
exactly.
thing?
Exactly.
Oh.
This will be our child.
The dinosaur.
Yes, David.
Nice.
I see our marriage purely as a dedication to your work.
Well, gee whiz, Alice, everybody has to have a honeymoon and
but we haven't time.
Oh.
Speaking of time, you have an appointment this afternoon.
Have I? What for?
To play golf with Mr. Peabody.
Peabody? What Peabody?
The Alexander Peabody who represents Mrs. Carlton Random.
Now, let me think.
Who may possibly donate $1 million to the museum for the completion of all this group.
Oh, sure, that Mr. Peabody. Yes, $1 million. Hey, that's pretty white of Mr. Peabody, isn't it?
Well, you haven't got it yet.
No,
let me remind you that a lot depends on the impression you make on him.
Oh, sure. Oh, don't worry. After I've received this, say, I feel good for anything. I'll wow him. I'll knock him for a loop.
David, no slang. Remember who and what you are.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Now, do go along. You mustn't keep him waiting.
Well, goodbye,
and
Alice.
Don't
I mean,
forget
Professor.
Your golf remember, let Mr. Peabody win.
Yes, Alice, yes. I won't.
Later, on a golf course, David walks with a balding man.
I can't tell you, Mr. Peabody, how much this endowment would mean to the museum and to me personally. If you could just give me some assurance that... consider us first before you donate that million to anyone else, I'd appreciate it.
Dr. Huxley, you seem to be under some misapprehension. I haven't got $1 million. I merely represent the possible donor, Mrs. Carlton Random, whose legal advisor I happen to be.
Oh, I forgot. Well, Mr. Peabody, then I wonder... If you could use your influence with Mrs. Random, that would be nice.
Dr. Huxley, when I play golf, I only talk golf. And then only between shots.
Oh, yes, of course. I'm sorry.
Couldn't we continue this discussion over a whiskey and soda when we've finished our game?
Why, yes, we could.
Yeah. Meantime, I believe you hooked your ball.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's right, I did. Yeah. Well, I'll be with you in a minute, Mr.
Yes,
Peabody.
Yes. All right.
David walks across the fairway, then stops suddenly.
Oh, look, look. You can't...
He sees a woman readying for a shot.
Hey, that's my ball. Just a minute.
He and his caddy jog over.
Well, he's hoping.
I say, just a minute. I beg your pardon.
The svelte woman hits the ball.
Oh, dear.
You shouldn't do that, you know.
But what shouldn't I do?
Talk while someone's shooting.
Yes,
well, anyway, I
voice.
Forgive you because I got a good shot.
But you don't understand.
See, there it is, right next to the pin.
But that has nothing to do with it.
Oh, are you playing through?
No, I've just driven off the first tee.
I see you're a stranger here. You should be over there. This is the 18th fairway, and I'm right on the green.
Yeah.
David waves to Mr. Peabody.
I'll be with you in a minute. What kind of ball are you playing?
PGA.
Well, I'm playing a crow flight.
I like a PGA better.
No, I'm just trying to prove to you that you're playing my ball. You see, a PGA has two black dots and a crow flight has a circle.
I'm not superstitious about things like that.
Oh, well, that doesn't
Stop
have anything to
for a
do
minute,
with
will
it.
You please? Will you take out the pin?
She sinks a long putt.
Oh, my. This is so silly. I never saw...
David gets the ball.
There, you see, it's a circle.
Well, now, of course it is. Do you think it would roll if it was square?
No, I have reference to a mark on the ball.
I
that
know,
proves it's a crow flight. That's
well,
my ball.
What does it matter? It's only a game anyway.
Well, my dear young lady, you don't seem to realize you've placed me in a very embarrassing position.
Oh, really? I'm sorry.
The most important corporation lawyer in New York is waiting for me over on the first fairway.
Then it's silly of you to be fooling around on the 18th green.
You don't mind if I take this with me?
No, not at all. Tell the caddy master to put it in my bag when you've finished.
His brow furrows.
Huxley! Come on!
Oh, yes! I'll be with you in a minute, Mr. Peabody!
In the parking lot, the young woman sits in a convertible and rear-ends a car that's blocking her in. David's caddy notices.
Hey, mister, I think that's your car.
The woman repeatedly smashes the car in front.
Hey! Hey! Oh. I'll be with you in a minute, Mr. Peabody! Hey!
David dashes to the parking lot as the woman clips the bumper of the car next to hers.
Hey! Hey! What do you think you're doing?
I'm trying to unpark my car. Oh, hello.
This is my car.
Oh, good. Then would you mind moving it out of the way?
No. This is my car.
He points to the car she's driving.
Move back about 4 feet while I'll be able to get out.
Well, I'm afraid you made a mistake. Maybe this is your... What did you say?
I said, if you move it back about 4 feet, I'll be able to get out. I'm in a terrible hurry and I can't budge.
Oh, you want me to move your car?
Would you mind terribly?
Well, yes, I will, but...
Oh, that'd be awfully kind of you.
Well, take it very easy with that car.
Yes, I'll go slowly.
She backs into a tree.
No.
David frowns.
What are you doing?
Well, I have to get into position.
Well, please be careful.
I will.
David gets in the other car and inches back.
Clear?
Yes, you're clear now.
Clear?
She scrapes by.
Oh.
David frowns at his dented fender.
Now, look what you've done.
Well, that's all right. I'm insured.
Well, I don't care whether you're insured or not.
He goes to his car.
Look, let me drive this car.
Oh, it's all right. It's an old wreck anyway. It doesn't matter.
Well, you don't understand. This is my car.
You mean this is your car?
Of course.
Your golf ball, your car. Is there anything in the world that doesn't belong to you?
Yes, thank heaven, you.
Now, don't lose your temper.
Well, my dear young lady, I'm not losing my temper. I'm merely trying to play some golf.
Well, you choose the funniest places. This is a parking lot.
Will you get out of my car?
Will you get off my running board?
This is my running board!
All right, honey. Stay there.
Oh.
As she drives off, he stands on the narrow footboard holding onto the windshield. From the golf course, Mr. Peabody glimpses them.
I'll be with you in a minute, Mr. Peabody!
David rides off. Later, he enters the lounge of an elegant restaurant, formally dressed in white tie and tails. Carrying his top hat, he approaches the head waiter.
Oh, good evening, sir.
Excuse me, I'm looking for Mr. Peabody, Alexander Peabody. I believe he's dining here.
Mr. Peabody has not arrived yet.
Oh, sir. Well, I'll just wait.
Yes, sir.
As the waiter seats a couple, a hat check girl approaches David.
May I check your hat, sir?
Excuse me?
Check your hat.
Oh, no, I better... Well, maybe you...
He drops his hat. As they both bend to pick it up, they bump heads.
I dropped my hat. Well, I'd better hang on to it.
The lady golfer sits at the bar.
Now watch very carefully.
I'm watching.
I take an olive. See? And I throw it in that glass.
The bartender sets an olive on the back of his hand, then slaps his wrist, popping the olive into his mouth.
Now, I know what happens. That's wonderful.
You take three, don't you, Gwen? Mm-hmm. Only you treat it. Will you see me take three? Now, you throw it in the glass. Huh?
The woman tries to pop an olive into her mouth, but it drops on the floor. Yes. David slips on it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, hello. You're sitting on your hat.
I know it.
That's silly. I'm awfully sorry. I couldn't be more apologetic, really.
Well, I might have known you were here. I had a feeling just as I hit the floor.
That was your hat.
It's crushed.
Yes. Look at it.
Yes, it's too bad, isn't it? Well, Joe here was showing me a trick and the olive got away.
First you drop an olive and then I sit on my hat. It all fits perfectly.
Oh, yes, but you can't do that trick without dropping some of the olives. It takes practice.
What, to sit on my hat?
No, to drop an olive. Yeah. Now, if you're going to be angry with me, what can I do?
Go away.
No, I was here first.
Then I'll go away.
He walks off. The young woman watches him go and smiles. Wearing a snug, shimmering gown, she approaches a table. Across the room, David catches her staring at him and shoos her away. At the table, a man smoking a cigar furrows his brow as the woman takes olives from his dish and tries to pop them in her mouth.
Won't you just take the olive dish?
No, no, it's all right. I'll sit here. You don't mind, do you?
Not at all.
This is rather difficult.
I guess.
Oh, goodness. You know, your face is familiar. Haven't we met somewhere?
Not to my knowledge.
Well, I think you're wrong. My name's Susan Vance.
I'm Dr. Fritz Lynn.
Oh, well, that's all right. You can sit down. I don't mind
Thank
at all.
Thank you. You may have heard me lecture.
Well, what do you lecture about?
I usually talk about nervous disorders. I am a psychiatrist.
Oh, crazy people.
We dislike the use of that word. All people who behave strangely are not insane.
Is that so? Oh, well, would you mind if I asked your professional opinion about something?
Not at all.
Well, now, what would you say about a man who follows a girl around?
Follows her around?
And then when she talks to him, he fights with her.
Fights with her? Mm-hmm. Is the young man your fiancé?
Oh, no, I don't know him. I never even saw him before today.
Oh.
No, he just follows me around and fights with me.
Well, the love impulse in men very frequently reveals itself in terms of conflict.
The love impulse?
Mm-hmm. Without my knowing anything about it, my rough guess would be that he has a fixation on you. A fixation...
No, wait a minute. I can't remember any more than that. A fixation.
That's right.
The love impulse in man frequently reveals itself in terms of...
Conflict. That's right.
Oh, I'm eternally grateful to you.
Sure. Susan grabs a purse from the table and hurries to David.
You know why you're following me? You're a fixation.
Oh, I'm not following you. I've been sitting here. I haven't moved from this spot. Now, please, you're following me.
Oh, don't be absurd. Who's always behind whom?
Yeah. Now, look, my dear young lady, I haven't been behind anything but what they call the eight ball. I haven't been all day.
You're angry, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. The love impulse in man frequently reveals itself in terms of conflict.
Excuse me, the what impulse?
Love impulse.
Yeah.
Now, you see, the trouble with you is that you have a kind of...
Look. All I'm trying to do is find the gentleman whom, thanks to you, I abandoned on the golf course today.
Susan eyes the purse.
Now, please, go.
Say, this isn't... Well, what do you suppose I... Here, hold this a minute, will you, please? I'll be right back.
Yes.
She leaves the purse. Dr. Lehman tries the olive trick.
Missed.
His tall wife joins him.
I'm sorry I was so long.
That's quite all right, my dear. I had a very entertaining conversation with a young lady who does tricks with olives when she gets into it.
Fritz. Where's my purse?
Your purse, dear? I thought you had it with you.
No, I left it right here on the table. Oh, my dear, my diamond pin was in it.
Oh, but better look. Diamond pin!
Across the room, David starts to leave the purse on a chair, then changes his mind. The laymans block his path as they search around their table.
All right, don't worry about it.
Excuse me,
Mrs. Lehman notices the purse in his hands.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, sir. Very kind of you.
This is my purse, my diamond pin it is.
All right,
will you please give that?
No, I'm afraid.
Give me that.
Will you please hand it over?
At the bar, Joe hands Susan another purse.
I did the trick.
Smiling, she approaches David and the laymans.
Not my wife.
I'm afraid you've made a slight blunder. You see, this Oh, there is the young lady. Now look, isn't this your purse?
No, this is my purse.
Well, there you are.
Wait a minute.
Just a minute. Didn't you give me this purse to hold?
Yes, that's right. I did. I gave him the purse to hold. You see, there's been a mistake. I lost my purse, and I must have picked up your wife's purse by mistake. And I wanted him to stay here, so I gave him your wife's purse to hold while I went to find my purse, and I was coming right back. Now, that's all perfectly clear, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it isn't. You see, if you're going to give me an explanation...
No, and my dear sir, it never will be clear as long as she's explaining it. Now, please let me...
Now, just a minute. No,
he's innocent. Now, you have your wife's purse. I have my purse.
David leaves, and Susan hurries after him.
Everything's going to be all right.
All right.
Now, Now, please listen to me. You certainly can't think that I did that intentionally.
Well, if I could think, I'd have run when I saw you.
She grabs his coattail.
I explained. I just gave you my purse. Oh, you've torn your coat.
David feels the rip and glares.
Now, I didn't do it on purpose. Not right. That's not right. It's not my fault. I didn't mean to do it. I just did it, but I didn't mean to do it. I just caught hold of your coat.
Look, will you do something for me?
A needle?
No, it's simpler than that. Let's play a game.
Oh? What? Yeah,
well, watch. I'll put my hand over my eyes, and then you go away.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll count to 10, and when I take my hand down, you will be gone. One.
Well, I like that. I was only trying to be nice.
Leaving, she tears her skirt train, exposing her underpants.
Oh, just a minute!
Oh, no, just a moment! You can't talk to me.
He backs her up against a wall.
I'm mad. I am mad.
Something horrible has happened.
Well, don't tell me about it. Just get out of it as best you can.
No.
And please stop following me around. What? Fixation or no fixation. I've had about enough.
Please stop talking so that I
will
can.
Will you please stop prodding me?
No. Look, I'm just trying to tell you that you've told.
Oh, no, I didn't. Why, if you hadn't been in such a hurry and had waited for my explanation,
not my coat.
Your coat would still be perfectly all right.
He covers her bottom with his top hat.
What is the matter with you?
She turns and he covers her again.
Do you realize that you're making a perfect fool of yourself?
People stare as David holds his hat over her bottom.
Will you please stop doing that with your hat?
He stands behind her.
In the world is going on.
Oh, no, please don't move.
Oh, I've had about enough of this.
Look, listen to me. Let's get out of here. Just start walking.
So now you want to walk. Well, I'm quite sure that I don't want to walk with you. And I hope you realize that you've made a perfect spectacle of yourself. Have you finished?
Yes.
Stepping away, she reaches for her skirt train.
Oh!
Susan backs up to the wall.
Oh. Don't just stand there. Do something.
He embraces her from behind.
Well, get behind me.
I am behind.
Well, get closer.
I can't get any closer now. Are you ready?
Yes,
I'll be calm. Left foot first.
All right.
In step, they stride across the lounge, and David puts on his rumpled top hat.
Keep going straight out the door.
Yes, but I have to meet somebody here. Oh, there he is.
Don't you dare leave me.
He doffs his hat to Mr. Peabody.
Be with you in a minute, sir. I'll see you in a minute, sir.
Later, David watches Susan sew his coat.
So you see, Miss Vance, it's very important that I meet this man in order to explain to him what happened. Although, even if I saw him, I wouldn't know what to say, I don't suppose.
Well, it's perfectly simple. Just tell him that you met someone that you knew and were detained.
Yeah, I can picture myself explaining our exit from the Ritz Plaza Hotel to Mr. Peabody.
But it's not Boopy that you're trying to see.
Yes, No, his name's Peabody.
Alexander Peabody, but that's Boopy, and I know him well. I was going to have supper with him tonight. He'll do anything I ask him to. I can wrap him round my little finger. Here. Now, you put on your coat and we'll go over to the Ritz and catch him before he's finished dinner.
I better go there
alone. And if
we
miss him there, no, you can't go alone. If we miss him there, we'll go out to Riverdale. You are. There you are.
Well, I couldn't go to Riverdale. I couldn't spend that much time.
Riverdale's only half an hour away. I have my car right outside.
Yes, but I have to go to Carnegie Hall to meet Miss Swallow.
Miss Swallow?
Yes, I'm engaged to Miss Swallow.
Engaged to be married?
That's right.
Well, that's nice. Then she won't mind waiting, will she?
Oh, well, I wouldn't like to...
I mean, if I were engaged to you, I wouldn't mind waiting at all. I'd wait forever.
Yes, but it wouldn't be right to leave her.
Later, in a station wagon with David, Susan turns into the driveway of a sweeping manor house.
Well, I finally got you here, didn't I?
Oh, yes.
She climbs out on David's side.
Susan.
Huh?
Susan, do they build all the houses in Riverdale alike?
No, I don't think so. Why?
Oh, well, because if they don't, we've passed this one 6 times in the last hour.
Oh, but David, it was such a lovely night for a drive.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, dear.
She rings the bell.
Well, there aren't any lights in the windows. Mr. Peabody must have gone to bed.
Oh, no, he couldn't have gone to bed this soon. It's too early.
Oh, I don't know. If they expected a visit from you, they could, with the covers over their heads.
Now, David, if you don't stop nagging, I won't help you arrange matters with Boopy.
Well, somehow I have a feeling it might be better if you didn't.
Why?
Well, I don't think we ought to do this, Susan. Gee, if we wake him up in the middle of the night, he'll be irritable.
Well, I don't think it's going to work anyway, but I know where Boopy sleeps.
But, Susan, you can't climb in a man's bedroom window.
I know, it's on the second floor. Boopy!
Oh.
Hey!
Oh, Susan,
Boopy!
Please, it's too late now, Susan. You can't wake him up.
Oh, can't I?
She crouches down.
So what are you doing?
Pebbles.
Pebbles? What for?
Well, I've heard that if you throw pebbles up against the window, the people think it's hail, and then they come and close the window.
They stare up at a French door.
Oh, I know we ought to go now, but somehow I can't move.
Guess they weren't big enough.
Mr. Peabody sleepily opens the French door.
What?
Oh!
Susan hurls a rock.
Oh!
It hits Mr. Peabody and he keels over.
Jeepers, let's get out of here.
They dash off. Later, in the station wagon, Susan pulls over to a curb.
worry, David. Everything's going to be all right. And tomorrow, when Poopy's calmed down, we'll go and see him together.
Now, just a moment, Susan. Don't think that I don't appreciate all you've done, but...
Oh, it was nothing, but, David, really.
Just a moment. But there are limits to what a man can bear. And besides that, tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to get married.
What for?
Well, because... Well, anyway, I'm going to get married, Susan, and don't interrupt.
No.
Now, my future wife has always regarded me as a man of some dignity. Privately, I'm convinced that I have some dignity. Now, it isn't that I don't like you, Susan, because, after all, in moments of quiet, I'm strangely drawn toward you, but, well, there haven't been any quiet moments. Our relationship has been a series of misadventures from beginning to end. So, if you don't mind, I'll see Mr. Peabody alone and unarmed.
Without me?
Yes, without you, and definitely without you. Now, Susan, I'm going to say good night, and I hope that I never set eyes on you again. Good night.
He turns to go, but trips and falls. Susan smiles as David stands up and brushes himself off. Her wide-set eyes flicker, and she nods to herself. In the morning, David talks on the phone.
Yes, I did see Mr. Peabody, but I didn't see him. Well, that is, I didn't see him really. I spoke to him twice, but I didn't talk to him.
But, David, I don't understand. Did you see him or didn't you?
Well, no, I don't know. Well, how do I know? Well, because there's someone at the door. You see, there's some things that are very hard to explain, Alice, and as soon as I,
He opens the door to a delivery man with a package.
Yes, sir. Oh, now, Alice, before we're married this afternoon, there's one thing we must have clear. I don't want any woman interfering with my affairs. It's fatal.
That's the stuff, buddy.
What do you want?
Dr. Huxley?
Yes.
Sign here.
Oh, just a minute, Alice. I have to sign something. Oh! Oh, Alice! Alice, it's arrived! The intercostal clavicle. Yes, isn't that wonderful? Oh, isn't that a marvelous wedding present? Thank you. You see, I'm going to be married this afternoon.
Don't let it throw you, buddy.
The man leaves.
Yes, Alice. Yes, isn't it great? Oh, Alice, I'm so excited. Yes, well, I'll tell you what you do. You go on down to the museum... And I'll meet you down there right away. Yes, dear. Goodbye.
David eagerly unwraps the shoebox-sized package.
Hello? Oh, it's you. Well, I can't hear you very well. Come closer to the telephone.
I said good morning, David, and I said, do you want a leopard?
A leopard? No, why should I want a leopard?
Well, for that matter, why should I? But I've got one.
Susan, where would you get a leopard?
Well, I wouldn't get a leopard, David. My brother Mark got him. He's hunting in Brazil, and I guess he caught him.
Oh, of course, it's a stuffed leopard.
Of course, now, why should my brother Mark be hunting stuffed leopards in Brazil when he used stuffed leopard, when he can find them right here in New York?
A live leopard rubs against Susan's leg.
Well, David, it's lucky I met you yesterday because you're the only zoologist I know. Well, of course I know what a zoologist is. Get out of here, you. No, not you, David.
Oh, baby, get back into that bathroom and stay there. You're making a nuisance of yourself.
No, not you, David. No, I want you to come right over. Oh, David, don't be irrelevant. The point is, I have a leopard. The question is, what am I going to do with it?
Well, Susan, I regret to say the leopard is your problem.
You mean you refuse to help me? But, David, you can't do that. You can't leave me alone with the leopard. No, I'm going to come and get you in my...
She trips over the phone cord.
Susan, what happened? Is it the leopard?
No, nothing happened to me, David. I just... I mean, the leopard!
She knocks over a tea tray.
Can you hear me, Susan?
She rubs the phone's mouthpiece against a fire screen.
Oh. Susan!
Oh.
Susan! Susan, be brave! Be brave, I'll be right there, Susan!
David trips and scrambles for the phone.
Susan! Can you hear me? I'll be there, Susan!
He drops the phone, grabs his hat, and runs out with his package. Susan hangs up, smiling. Later, David dashes out of an elevator and races to an apartment. Inside, she hurries to answer the door.
Oh, you're all right.
Yes, I'm all right.
You lied to me.
No, well, I did just...
Tell me a ridiculous story about a leopard.
A ridiculous story. I have a leopard.
Well, where is the leopard?
Right in there.
He strides to the closed bathroom door.
I've
been a victim of your unbridled imagination once more. All the way you talk about...
He closes the door on the leopard.
That'll teach you to go around saying things about people.
Susan, you've got to get out of this apartment.
But, David, I can't. I have a lease.
Oh, it isn't that. You've got to get this thing out of here.
Don't worry about him. He's really all right. What are you going to do?
I'm going to call the zoo.
Oh, no, you can't do that. David, oh, that's the meanest thing I ever heard. He's a pet. He'd be miserable in a zoo. Listen, from my brother Mark from Brazil. Dear Susan, I'm sending you baby. That's baby. A leopard I picked up. Got him with your life. He's 3 years old, gentle as a kitten, and he likes dogs. I don't know whether Mark means that he eats dogs or is fond of them. Mark's so vague at times.
Vague.
He also likes music, particularly that song, I Can't Give You Anything But Love.
Oh, that's absurd.
No, it isn't, David. Really, listen.
This is probably the silliest thing that ever happened to me.
I know it's silly, but it's true. He absolutely adores the tune.
Now, what's the difference whether it adores
it's
or not?
It's funny that he should like such an old tune, isn't it? But I imagine that down in Brazil they probably... Listen.
Oh, stop it, Susan.
Oh, David, let me show him.
Oh, don't do that, Susan. Don't go near the door.
She lets baby out, and David stands on a chair.
Now watch, David. You'll see he'll go right toward the music.
The stocky spotted leopard sniffs the Victrola.
It loves it, David.
Susan, if we put the Victrola in the bathroom, will it go back in?
Oh, yes, but the music sounds better out here, and besides, he likes it.
Oh, here it comes. Oh, now go away.
The leopard gently rubs against David's shoes, then nibbles at his pant leg.
I'm going to get out of here. Susan, I don't like leopards.
Just think of him as being a house cat, David.
Well, I don't like cats either.
Stand still, David. Don't be nervous.
Uh-oh, make him stand still.
Baby rolls on its back and paws David's feet.
Susan, do something. Turn off that Victrola.
I don't think it's the music, David. I think it's you. David, I think you found a real friend. Look, isn't it affectionate? Just like a little baby kitten. I never saw anything take such a liking to anyone in my life. It would follow you anywhere.
Wouldn't.
We shan't have any trouble taking it to Connecticut.
Connecticut?
My farm in Westlake, Connecticut.
Westlake? Well, I'm not going to Westlake, Connecticut.
But, David...
Susan, I will not be involved in any more of your harebrained schemes.
But it's not a harebrained scheme. Imagine Aunt Elizabeth coming to this apartment and running smack into a leopard. That would be an end of my $1 million.
Aunt Elizabeth...
If you hadn't thought it was going to give you $1 million if she liked you and you knew she wouldn't like you, if she found a leopard in your apartment, what would you do?
I don't know.
Oh, David, you have to help me.
Oh, there are only two things in the world I have to do. Finish my brontosaurus and get married at 3 o'clock.
He leaves.
Go on, quitter.
Well, it's no good calling me names, Susan, because I won't argue with you anymore. I don't want anything to do with a leopard.
He boards the elevator.
Go on, baby, down the stairs.
The leopard, about the size of a German shepherd, trots downstairs. Susan follows, holding her hat on as she runs in high heels. On the ground floor, David strides outside, carrying his package. Baby follows, and the doorman stares after them. Susan runs out.
Morning.
She climbs into her car and drives off. Up ahead, David strolls down the sidewalk, unaware of the leopard walking next to him. Susan pulls alongside.
Good morning, Professor.
Morning.
You better change your mind about coming to Connecticut.
Susan, we settled that question once and for all.
But what about my leopard?
That's your problem.
It's not all my problem.
Susan, will you please go away?
All right, David. Since he likes you so much, I've decided to give him to you.
I won't take him.
You've got him.
Susan, don't go away. I've got the leopard.
Later, he rides with baby in Susan's car.
No, David, all I was doing was driving along. That's all I was doing. You were standing on the sidewalk yelling and looking very silly.
Now, you know very well you tricked me into this trip.
Baby nibbles on the seat.
Eating your car. Oh, look at the road. Oh, dear, I have a feeling something horrible is going to happen.
Oh, no, David, everything's going to be all right.
I don't care anymore.
He shrinks away as baby puts its paws on the front seat.
Oh, what's the matter? You get lonely?
Susan, if you know any shortcuts, please take them.
We're going to be there in no time now, David, really.
Because all I want to do is deliver this leopard, take the first train back to town, and forget the last 24 hours ever happened.
Oh, well, now what's wrong with the last 24 hours? I've had a wonderful time.
Susan, I don't know. You look at everything upside down. I've never known anyone quite like you.
You just had a bad day, that's all.
Oh, well, that's a masterpiece of understatement. Now, look... Well, I can't discuss anything with you with baby breathing down the back of my neck.
Hey, get out. Go on.
As she shoos baby away, the car drifts toward a trailer.
Susan, duck!
They rear-end the trailer, sending it crashing off the road, then skid to a stop. Bird crates topple off the trailer, and the birds fly free. Baby pokes its head out the rear window. Susan grabs it by the tail.
Never hang on to a leopard's tail, Susan!
Sing, baby! I can't give you anything but love!
They hold onto its tail, but Baby springs free. Later, David rides covered in white feathers.
Well, anyway, David, I still insist that he was right in the middle of the road. I've never hit anything that was in the right place.
That wagon was on the side of the road, Susan.
Certainly was not. It was straight ahead of me, and that's why I bumped into it.
What time is it?
Well, David, we'll be there in no time. We just have to stop at West Lake to get some meat for Baby.
Why, he's already had an assortment of ducks and chickens, not to mention a couple of swans.
All feathers.
Yeah, well, very expensive feathers. But I don't see how any pair of swans could cost $150. That was a gift.
Well, if you'd run as I told you to, we shouldn't have had to pay for them.
Susan, when a man is wrestling a leopard in the middle of a pond, he's in no position to run.
Later, in a town square, Susan drives down a street lined with parked cars and pulls into a spot.
There it is, David. Please hurry up.
David gets out and frowns.
Oh, Susan, why, of all places, when you have a leopard in the car, did you have to stop in a town where there's a circus?
But, David, I didn't stop because there's a circus, but Baby's going to be hungry and we'll have to feed him. Now, please hurry, David. If Baby wakes up, we'll be in real trouble.
Well, I don't suppose it makes any difference to you, but you're parked in front of a fire plug.
Mm-hmm. I know it. Don't worry about that, David. I'm going to take care of everything.
All right.
You go ahead.
David strides into a store, still carrying his package. He steps up to the meat counter.
$51. Thank you. Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
I want 30 pounds of sirloin steak, please.
Did you say 30 pounds?
Yes, that's right, 30 pounds.
How will you have it cut?
Oh, just in one piece.
Are you going to roast it or broil it?
Neither. It's going to be eaten raw.
Yeah.
The butcher goes into a back room. Outside, a man wearing a three-piece suit notices the fire hydrant near Susan's parking spot.
Hey, lady.
Huh?
That's a fire plug.
I know it.
It's against the law to park alongside a fire plug.
I know it.
Come here.
Who, me? Why?
I'm Constable Slocum.
Oh, is that so? How do you do? I'm Susan Vance.
How do you do? Now, listen, I don't care who you are. I just want to let you know that you can't park alongside of a fire plug.
Yes, well, you see, I was just watching the parade.
Oh, you were?
I suppose you get free seats to the circus.
Well, Elmer and I usually get a... Now, listen, young lady, that has nothing to do with it. I'm just going to give you a ticket.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Constable. I'd love to go to the circus, but you better keep your tickets because I'm busy tonight.
Yeah, well, it ain't that kind of a ticket.
Baby jumps into another car.
Oh, Jeepers.
Young lady, it might interest you to know that you're under arrest.
Oh, well, I mean, why?
For parking alongside of a fire plug.
Oh, but I'm not parked next to a fire plug.
You ain't. Well, what do you call that?
Oh, well, you mean that you think that this is my car?
Well, ain't it?
No, that's my car.
Well, why didn't you say so in the first place?
Well, you didn't ask me.
Oh. Oh.
Inside with the butcher.
Say, do you grind this up before you eat it?
Oh, this isn't for me. It's for Baby.
Outside, David finds Susan at the wheel of the other car.
Hurry up, David. Get in.
But.
Jump on.
But that is your car.
He gets on the running board.
Hey, wait a minute. Just
come back
here.
Now, come back here. What are you yelling about?
He stole my car.
Stole your car?
Last night you tried to steal my wife's purse.
What?
Now, don't stand there. Do something. Get after him. Catch him.
Well, Elmer. Bless me. Hey, bring back that car.
Later, in a barn.
No, I'm glad we finally got here.
I know, but isn't it wonderful?
No.
We can put him in that box. Oh, wait a minute. Don't open the door until you close.
I think that is a good idea.
David holds open the door to a stall while Susan lets Baby out of the stolen car.
And this one? Now, do you just walk along my road? Come on, Baby. Go on.
She nudges the reluctant leopard into the stall, then helps David close and lock the door.
Right in there.
Now everything is quite all right. No, everything is not all right.
Baby's
Everything is not all right, Susan. It may be all right for you, but now I've got to get back to New York.
Oh, David, what a one you are. No sooner do you get one thing settled than you start worrying about something.
Well, my heavens, Susan, one of us should worry, because on top of all that's happened, we've stolen the car. Look.
Oh, well, that's all right. I'll send it back. I don't like it anyway.
Oh, I suppose you'd like me to leave it with the constable on my way back to New York.
No, that wouldn't be safe. You might be arrested. Besides, it's a hot car.
Yes, I know. You're going to file the numbers off the engine.
No, that would be dishonest. I'll have the gardener take it back after it starts.
She picks feathers off him.
Stop it.
You're shedding.
Now, where's the telephone?
Out that door?
Well, that's all I want to know. Thank you.
No, but David, what I want to suggest
now, Susan,
is...
I don't want any more suggestions from you. My fiancé is waiting for me in New York. In order to get married, I have to get to New York.
Oh, Lord. David, I want you to be married. I think you should be married. I think every man should be married. But I don't think that any self-respecting girl will marry you.
So where is the telephone?
In there. But, David, look at yourself.
Well, what's
you're
the matter with me? Oh, my God, I am dirty.
Hey, you see, now what I want to suggest is that you come into
the only way you'll ever get me to follow another of your suggestions is to hold a bright object in front of my eyes and twirl it.
Yes, I understand that. I simply wanted to suggest...
I don't want any suggestions. All I want to do just now is to clean up. Where is there a shower, please?
That's what I was going to suggest, the shower.
Huh? Oh.
Later, David takes a shower. Susan, wearing a white bathrobe, sneaks into his guest room. Her shoulder-length hair curls softly around her broad, angular features. Hurrying, she gathers up his clothes and shoes, then puts on his hat and scurries out. She runs into the kitchen where a maid works.
Anna! Yes, Hannah. I want you to send these into town and have them cleaned and pressed.
Well, why send them into town? I can do them here.
Now, don't argue with me, Hannah. Into town and have them cleaned and pressed.
It'll take a lot longer,
Susan.
Oh,
well, there's no hurry, Hannah. No hurry at all.
She jogs back through the spacious country house to the guest room. Smiling, she saunters in.
Hurry up, David!
I am hurrying.
She sits on the bed and studies his package.
David!
What?
In the box.
What did you say?
In the box.
Oh, that's the intercostal clavicle of a brontosaurus.
Oh, really? Oh, it's just an old bone.
Yes, Susan, it's just an old bone. Put it down gently and go away.
All right, David. Is there anything else I can do for you?
Oh, yes. Hand me my clothes, will you?
Oh, David, they aren't here. They're being pressed.
What?
I mean, the gardener's taken them into town.
Oh, well, stop him. I can't wait. I must leave here immediately.
David, you can't leave without your clothes.
Well, I know that. Where are you going?
I'm going to take a shower.
Oh, Susan, don't leave me here like this.
Don't be impatient, David. We'll talk it over after I've finished. Everything's going to be all right.
Everything's going to be all right. Oh, certainly. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be... Oh, I'm losing my mind, that's all. Roaming around Connecticut without any clothes, huh?
Putting on a lady's robe trimmed with down, he hurries to another room.
Susan, where are you?
Huh?
Susan, will you come out of there and help me find some clothes, or must I come in and get you?
Oh, David, you wouldn't.
Oh, yes, I would. Oh, well, maybe I wouldn't. Susan, where's the gardener's room?
Why?
Because he must have some clothes. Where's his room?
Bob, I can't hear you.
You can hear what you want to hear.
No, really, Oscar, what'd you say?
I just said... Oh, never mind. I'll find the place myself. The gardener must have clothes. Clothes are clothes.
Not in town.
Well, he couldn't have taken all his clothes with him.
Oh, yes, he could.
Of all the conceited, spoiled little scatterbrains. My goodness, the man who gets... The man who gets you is going to have a lifetime of misery.
He opens the door to an older woman.
Everything's going to be... What do you want?
Well, who are you?
Who are you?
Well, who are you?
What do you want?
Well, who are you?
I don't know. I'm not quite myself today.
Well, you look perfectly idiotic in those clothes.
These aren't my clothes.
Well, where are your clothes?
I've lost my clothes.
Well, why are you wearing these clothes?
Because I just went gay all of a sudden. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Now, see here, young man, stop this nonsense. What are you doing?
I'm sitting in the middle of 42nd Street waiting for a bus.
A fox terrier eyes him.
Now, will you put it over my shoe?
The older woman waves the maid over.
Come here. Who is this?
I don't know.
Oh, stop it, John. Well, what's he doing here?
I don't
Susan
know.
Avoids them.
Uh-oh. Susan! Susan, come back here. Stop it, George. Susan, come on, tell me.
My aunt, Elizabeth White, you are... Well, I've never been so thrilled in my life. This is amazing to see you here. Yeah. And George, dear little George.
Oh, well, why don't you come out?
Quiet, George.
Thought you'd stay there.
Get over there. Now, stop gushing and tell me. Who is this?
I thought you'd stay in New York.
Who is this man?
Oh, huh?
Where'd you get him?
His friend, Mark.
What's he doing here?
Susan brought me.
I don't doubt it, but why?
You see, I had a letter from Mark from Brazil. He said that David was an old friend of his, that he'd been working very, very hard in town, and that he was on the point of having a nervous breakdown.
No, I'm a nut from Brazil.
Well, he's very excitable. He must be allowed to do whatever he wants to do.
Where is Chloe?
Susan took them.
What's he doing in that face?
Oh, well, Mark says he should be allowed to wear a negligee if he wants to wear a negligee, because there's no telling Mark says what'll happen if he doesn't have his own way.
Does he want to wear those clothes?
No, I don't want to wear this thing. I just want to get married.
Susan, I forbid it. I absolutely put my foot down. The idea.
David repeatedly opens his mouth to speak, then clenches his lips in frustration. He stomps on Susan's toe and she crumbles.
Perhaps you can help me. Perhaps you can help me find some clothes.
Oh, yes, yes. Must be some of Mark's things around. Yes. There are some in Mr. Mark's room, sir. Yes, sir.
Which is Mr. Mark's room?
Well, it's the end, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
As David stalks off, George the Fox Terrier nips at him. David scurries into the end room, and the dog follows. He fakes George into the hall, then locks him out. Susan sits playing with her toes.
He loves me. David! Where'd he go? Went to get some clothes. If he gets some clothes, he'll go away. He's the only man I've ever loved. David!
She runs into a room with little George at her heels. Opening a closet, she picks out some clothes. She hurries into an adjoining room. The terrier hops onto the bed, where David's package lies open. His tail wagging, George takes the clavicle bone out of the box and carries it outside. Now, Susan wears a silk blouse with flowing pants and goes to the end room.
David?
What?
Can I come in?
I don't care what you do!
She finds him in a riding habit that's too small.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, go on and laugh. I know it looks ridiculous, but I'm past caring.
Oh, no, I don't mean to. What are you going to do?
What I'd be trying to do, get back to New York.
But, David, you can't go to New York dressed that way. You might be...
They're all I can find, and clothes are clothes, and I'm going. I'm going back to New York, if only to repair the damage that's been done since I've known you. My goodness, the damage that I've done to Miss Swallow, to the museum, to Mr. Peabody, and everybody else.
Mr. Peabody? But, David, the one way for you to get to Mr. Peabody is through Aunt Elizabeth. Please listen to me for 1 second. Now, he'll do anything that she tells him to, or even like you. He's Aunt Elizabeth's lawyer. He's her lawyer, Mr. Peabody.
What's your aunt's name?
Elizabeth.
Well, she has another name.
Yes, of course she does.
Oh, never mind. Don't tell me.
Well, why not? It's random. Mrs. Carlton, random.
Yes, I know. I knew that was...
Well, what's the matter?
Oh, my goodness. Out of 7 million people, why did I have to run into you yesterday?
Well, what have I done?
Susan, Mrs. Random is going to give away $1 million.
I know.
I wanted it for the museum.
Oh, David, well, I'm afraid that you made a rather unfavorable impression on Aunt Elizabeth.
Yeah, I quite realize that. Susan, listen to me.
What?
Now, a lot of things have happened, but we'll forget all about them because this is serious.
What, David?
Well, can you concentrate for just a moment?
Mm-hmm.
There's only one thing to be done, and this is important to me and to my work.
Oh.
What?
You're so good-looking without your glasses.
Susan, listen to me and try and remember.
What?
Well, you see, I've made a horrible mess of things,
mm-hmm.
and your aunt must never find out who I am. You do understand all that, don't you, Susan?
Yes, David.
You can tell her that I'm a friend of Mark's, that I have bats in the belfry, but don't ever tell her my name is David Huxley. Now, can you remember all that, Susan?
Yes, David.
You're sure?
Yes, David. But you are good-looking without your glasses.
Oh, never mind, Susan.
What'd I say? What'd I say?
She follows him as he puts on his glasses and gets his package.
What did I say? What did I do, David?
Susan, I just asked you to remember what
I said. I know, David, and I swear I'm going to remember it. I know exactly what you told me to say. It's locked in my...
Where is it?
Where's what?
My intercostal clavicle.
Your what?
My bone. It's rare. It's precious. What did you do with it?
The bone.
Susan, you had it. Give it to me.
I haven't got it. I really haven't got it.
Well, did you carry it somewhere?
No, David. What would I be doing carrying a bone around?
Well, I wouldn't dare give a reason for anything you do.
Well, I guess you'll have to find another one.
Well, it took 3 expeditions in 5 years to find that one.
Well, David, now that they know where to find them, couldn't you send them back to get another one?
Oh, Susan, look, you had it. You took it out of the box. Now, where did you put it?
I put it back in the box.
Well, was there somebody else in the room?
No, David, there was nobody else in the room, but... David, George.
Who's George?
The dog. You know, don't you see? Dog, bone, dog, bone.
Oh! George!
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 George! George!
They hurry around the house.
George!
Oh, stop it, Susan. You sound like an echo. George!
Nice, George.
George!
Nice, George.
Nice, George!
George!
Elizabeth enters.
Did you see him?
See who?
George!
Are those the only clothes you could find? Susan, come back here. Come back here this minute. What are you doing?
Honey, for George.
Why?
David wants him. David loves him. David thinks he's such a nice dog.
George, he's a perfect little fiend and you know it.
But David doesn't.
Come here. Susan.
Susan dashes outside after David.
Oh.
David.
George!
He's definitely not in the house. That's settled. Don't do that, David. If he knows you want him, you're hard.
Well, Susan, where's he apt to go?
George is apt to go anywhere.
Oh, I don't mean that. Where does he hide things?
Oh, now, David, how can I tell
you? Well, you ought to know. Oh, there he is! George! George!
The terrier comes.
Oh, my goodness, look at his nose. He's been digging. He's buried it.
David, there are 26 acres in this garden.
Well, that's awful. Now, George! Where did you hide that bone?
No, David, not that way. Now, George, we're not angry. No, David and Susan need that bone. It's a nasty old bone. It's hundreds of years old. That's David's bone.
Look.
Now, Susan will get you a nice, fresh bone if you'll just show us where it is.
Oh, look at the nasty little cur.
And everything's fell it. Now, George, don't be stubborn. Susan loves you. Now, where'd you put it? Don't you remember? Where'd you dig?
He's not
where'd
being upset
dig?
About
yes,
that. No, George!
George runs to a tree.
See, it's all very easy. If you know how to handle him, everything's going to be all right, David. This must be the spot.
Going to start digging in a minute, I can tell. There it goes. That's right, George. That's right. Nice, George. You see, it's all very simple if you keep your head.
Well, I do hope
isn't
he doesn't
nice
hurt that bone.
Isn't he a nice little dog? Isn't he a strong little man, David? Oh, he's got something. He's got something.
Come on, David. We're helping. Dig.
I'm digging.
Oh, I feel something. I feel something.
Oh, I hope it didn't hurt.
Oh, look, David, a boot.
A boot.
Don't hit George, David.
I wasn't going to hit George.
Now, George, that was fine, but now you've got to concentrate again. David has to find his bone. No,
they follow George across the lawn.
Isn't this fun, David? Just like a game.
Oh, yes.
Now, George, if you get tired of digging, you just tell David and Susan where you hit it, and they'll dig.
Later, they shovel more holes.
Susan, huh? Do you think George is really trying?
Well, David, almost every place he's taken us, we found something.
There's nothing here.
Oh, look, David, another boot.
Oh, another boot. That makes 3 pairs. Now, come on, George. Quit stalling. Where is it?
Oh, don't be discouraged, David. Now, George, concentrate. Bones, not boots.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, you see, he's got
I'm getting tired of all this digging.
Yes, what we need is a plow.
Susan! Susan!
Oh, Jesus,
there he goes.
It's Aunt Elizabeth. Follow him, David. Don't let him get away.
Susan!
Yes, Arnie, I'm coming.
Susan!
What?
What on earth are you doing? What are all these?
Those? Oh, they're holes.
Well, holes, of course. I can see they're holes. How'd they get here?
Well, David and George and I were digging.
Who is this David?
He's a friend of Mark's.
Is that all you know about him?
No, I know that I'm going to marry him. He doesn't know it, but I am.
Now, see here, if you're planning to marry him on my money, you're very much mistaken. I don't want another lunatic in the family. I've got lunatics enough already. When are you going to marry him? What's his name?
It's, Bone.
Bones? What a ridiculous name. Well, one bone or two bones. It's a ridiculous name. Mm-hmm. What does he do?
He hunts.
Hunts? Hunts what?
Well, animals, I should think.
Big game hunting, huh?
Yes, very big.
You call that big game hunting?
David crawls through bushes after George.
Look at that.
Well, Auntie, he's just playing with George.
Well, he's not going to play with George another minute. Tell him dinner's 8:30 sharp and not to keep us waiting. George, come here this minute. George! Come along, George.
Oh. Oh, David.
Later, on the phone.
Yes, Alice, that's where I am, in Connecticut, but I can't get in because I've been unavoidably detained.
Susan runs to his door.
David, listen.
Susan, I can't hear you. I'm talking. Go away. I'll be with you as soon as I'm finished.
Wearing a slim, flowing dress, Susan hustles over to another phone and picks up the receiver.
Now, David, you have to listen to me.
Yes, I know that... Susan, will you please get off the phone?
No, but David, you don't realize how important this is. It's about the leopard. He's making the most terrific rumpus out there. He's hungry. We've got to feed him.
Well, I can't help that. What, Alice, dear? No, it's somebody on the line. Keep quiet, Susan.
David, you've got to help, but this can't wait. There are 8 million people in this house, and if they hear him, why, they'll think that something terrible has happened.
Oh, now, Susan, get off the line, please. Hello, Alice. Hello. What? Oh, well, I don't know what time it is.
Susan holds a candle snuffer near a hurricane lamp.
When you hear the tone, the time will be 7:37 and 1/4.
Oh, Susan, please, please. Alice, you see, I can't hear you.
When you hear the tone, the time will be 7:40. When you hear the tone, the time will be 7:40 and 1/2.
At the door, a goateed man looks at his watch and shakes his head.
The time will be 7:41.
Pardon me, the time is 8:10.
When you hear the tone, the time will be
7:41. My watch shows 8:10 and 1/4. Who am I? I'm 8:10. Major Horace Applegate.
He climbs halfway over the Dutch door.
What do you want?
Mrs. Random invited me for dinner. Would you please find out if she still wants me?
She's hung up.
Well, so am I.
Why, Horace, what are you doing? Are you coming in or going out?
He's
coming in to dinner. This is Major Applegate. How do you do? I'm Susan Vann.
How do you do, Miss Susan? Hello, Elizabeth.
You know, you're much too big to swing on gates.
Yes, I found that out.
Susan, come back here. Where are you going?
Oh, I'm just going out.
I've had enough of this. You should be watching George, not playing around with telephone. Oh, excuse me.
George is fast asleep in my room. David, now come here, young man. And don't be afraid. Come here.
Oh, you look much better in those clothes, young man.
Thank you.
I want you to meet Mr. Bone.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Bone?
She points at David.
Oh, you're Mr. Bone. This is Major Applegate.
Yes, I'm Major Applegate. At least I'm pretty sure I am. That is, I was this morning.
there must be some mistake.
No, there isn't any mistake. I've known Major Applegate for 20 years.
Susan whispers to David that he's Mr. Bone.
I think, Elizabeth, it was long about...
Excuse me. How do you do, Mr. Applegate?
Well, how do you do again? Thank you.
Yes, now, Mr. Bone, we'll go for a nice long walk.
I'd like a chance to explain to you. You don't need to explain anything.
All right. I understand. All right. Yes. Goodbye, Major Applegate. Strange young man, isn't he? Is he suffering from something?
He's had a nervous breakdown.
Had or has?
Had.
Oh.
And it's left him sort of, you know.
Oh, my. What a pity. And so young, too.
Yeah, huh? The trouble is, my niece Susan seems to be showing the same tendency.
Is that so? You're all right, though.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, of course.
Here, have a drink. Help yourself.
Thank you.
Now, conversation at the dinner table may be a trifle difficult on account of this young man. So I want you to sort of draw him out.
Draw him out? I don't know what you mean.
Yes. Talk to him about something he understands. Big game hunting, for instance. You know, he's a big game hunter like yourself.
You don't say. Yes. Well, then, Elizabeth, you've come to the right man.
In the barn.
There, he's been. Now I'm sure he's going to keep quiet, David. Well, come on, let's go into dinner. Well, what's the matter? Why are you just sitting there?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out how I ever got mixed up in all this. Mr. Bone, isn't that amazing?
Well, David, you told me not to tell Aunt Elizabeth what your real name was.
Look, I didn't tell you to think up a name like Bone. You know, that's hard to do. Oh, now, George. George! Oh. Stay there, George. Hold on, come on, quickly, get out of here.
David picks up George and rushes outside.
Shut the door.
What's the matter?
What's the matter? Did you ever stop to think what would happen if Baby and George got together?
Oh, they'd probably like each other.
And if they didn't?
If they didn't, why, Baby would eat George.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
At dinner.
And there it was, straight before me. Crouching, as tigers do before the kill, you know. But I was ready for him. I drew a bead, leveled away, and caught him right between the eyes. Oh, my, it certainly was a thrilling experience. As I'm sure you'll all agree. Mm-hmm. Or do you, Mr. Bone? Mm?
David stares at the dog.
Have you ever been... Oh, pardon me. I'm so sorry. Have you ever been in Arabia, Mr. Bone? I said, have you ever been in Arabia, Mr.?
No.
Oh, I suppose you've spent most of your time in Africa.
No.
Tibet, perhaps?
No.
Malay Peninsula, perchance.
Excuse me.
David follows George outside.
Well, at least that got a rise out of him.
Well, you see, you shouldn't have mentioned the Malay Peninsula. He was horribly clawed there by a tiger. He doesn't like talking about it.
I had a gun bearer once who was clawed by a tiger.
David and George return.
I was just telling Major Applegate that you were horribly clawed by a tiger in the Malay Peninsula.
I've never been there.
You've never, Oh, well, no matter. What type of gun do you use in hunting tigers, Mr. Bone? I personally use a bolt-action Mauser with a very large bore.
Excuse me.
David strides out again.
Susan, imagine giving a dinner party with your husband stalking like Hamlet's ghost all through the meal.
Outside, the mustached gardener watches David trailing George.
Well, give me patience. No, this is too much. I can't stand it.
David returns.
We were talking about the jungle while you were away, Mr. Bone.
My soup is gone.
It was cold.
In the barn, the gardener walks into baby's stall.
Going on an innocent dog. Did anyone ever hear such nonsense?
From a feeding trough, he gets a whiskey flask.
You're the man crazy. And then they say, keep away from the bottle. Don't drink. No, not even a wee drop to steady a man's nerves. If one more thing happens, I'll quit. And where Aloysius Gogarty goes, Mrs. Aloysius Gogarty goes too.
The leopard follows Gogarty outside, then baby pads off into the night. Now, back at the dinner table.
Just picture it. A vast, mysterious silence, vibrant with life. Strange cries in the night.
Good gracious, what was that?
That was a loon, Elizabeth. Loon, L-O-N, yes. I'm sure that once you got the jungle in your blood, I wouldn't be able to keep you out of it, you know.
Susan, did you hear that?
I didn't hear a thing.
You did? Oh,
my. Horace, are you quite sure that was a loon?
Oh, yes, indeed, Elizabeth. I've heard many a loon, and if there ever was a loon, that is a loon. isn't it, Mr. Bone?
No.
Well, what do you say it was?
A leopard.
Don't be ridiculous. Major Applegate would know a leopard's cry if he heard it.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth. I'm an authority on animal cries.
Susan nudges David.
Elephant, for instance.
Oh, excuse me, Major. You're right. It is a loon.
Oh, thank you. The leopard's cry is something once heard you can never forget.
Oh, yes, I know.
You know. Thank you. Of course, it varies at different seasons. Let me see. Now, what month is this?
June.
Well, it would go something like this. I just prepare for it, you know.
Pressing his index fingers and thumbs together, he brings them to his lips.
There we have it. Oh, pardon me.
It's still a loon.
Well, of course, I haven't practiced the leopard cry in a long time. I'm slightly out of voice,
yes,
you know.
Try again.
Yes, I shall.
Applegate prepares his fingers.
Well, now, I didn't do that.
It was probably an echo.
Yes, well, it was a long time coming back, wasn't it?
Well, try again.
Yes, I shall. That's better. Now, that's peculiar. There aren't any leopards in Connecticut, are there?
Yes.
No.
Of course not.
Why do you say yes, Mr. Bone?
Excuse me. David
follows the dog out again.
Sit right down and finish your dinner and stop this
nonsense. All right, I'll sit down. You'll be sorry, but I'll sit down.
Outside, Gogarty paces.
I've got to get away from it.
Instead of sitting decently at the table eating the dinners, they're howling and roaring at one another like a lot of banshees. And then they say, Gogarty, you mustn't drink. Gogarty, you must keep away from the bottle.
The bottle. As if a man didn't need something to listen to that. My mind would take rights.
He takes a long swig of whiskey, then sits. On a table beside him, the leopard lies down.
If one more thing happens to upset me, I'd be seeing things.
He notices baby. Slowly rising, he backs away and gapes. He drops his flask.
Hannah! Hannah! Hannah, go
in! He runs inside to the maid and spills a tray she carries.
Be gone!
Gracious, now what's happened?
Elizabeth and the others find Gogarty and Hannah with the broken dishes.
You're supposed to
know
the
dishes.
Now, Gogarty, what is all this?
I saw it.
I saw it outside.
Saw what?
A cat. As big as a cow. With eyes like balls of fire.
Susan takes David aside.
There's the next cop.
Keep us, David. Do you realize what's happened? Baby's escaped.
Well, I don't care.
Come on, we've got to catch him.
I've got to watch George.
You're not going to stay here. If you stay here, I'm going to tell Aunt Elizabeth that your name is Dr. David Huxley.
Oh, you wouldn't do that.
Right now.
Oh, Susan, don't do that. All right, I'll do anything you say. I'll go with you.
Change your mind. All right,
George, stay there. Oh, Major, have a great keep an eye on George. Thank you.
They run into the barn.
Hey, baby. Oh, the door's open. Is it there? No, he's gone, all right. Oh, dear, now Aunt Elizabeth is out.
Well, don't lose your head, Susan. Don't lose your head.
I've got my head. I've lost my leopard. Yes. Oh, dear.
No, wait a minute. Nothing's going to be gained by uncontrolled hysteria. Now, compose yourself.
Well, what should we do?
Now, look, I'll call the zoo, tell them we saw a leopard, and they'll come and catch him.
Oh,
now, come on.
They hurry out. Susan returns to the dinner table.
It is...
Well, Susan, I do hope this time you've come to stay.
Yes, I've come to stay, Auntie. Mm-hmm. We've just been walking up and walking down.
Where's that young man going now?
He's just going in to take a rest. He has to take frequent rest. The doctor says, well, have you ever had jungle fever, Major? Well, then, of course, you realize how important rest is.
Hannah brings Aunt Elizabeth a telegram.
It's rather difficult because he has two doctors. Oh. One says rest, one says exercise. Which do you prefer?
Well, I think that perhaps...
Well, neither can he make up his mind.
Susan, listen to this.
What?
It is a cable from Mark.
Mark?
Not a particle of sense in it,
what does
you know?
It say? What does it say?
Are you pleased with baby? Love?
Baby?
Mark.
Mark?
Yes, not a word about my leopard.
Your leopard?
Now, I've always wanted a leopard.
Oh, excuse me.
You know, he promised it.
Susan dashes off.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Don't call the zoo.
Oh, I just...
Don't call the zoo.
Well, I just called them. It's all fixed.
Call them back and unfix it.
Well, why?
Don't ask questions. Call them back.
But I just told them they could have the leopard if they found it.
You've given away baby?
Yeah.
You had no right to do that. He doesn't belong to you. Oh, it's all your fault. You've ruined everything.
Oh, I've had enough. I quit.
You can't quit. Call them back.
But you told me to call them in the first place.
Everything's changed. I just found out that leopard belongs to Aunt Elizabeth.
Aunt Elizabeth, you said
never
it was
mind, I'll explain later. Just call them back and tell them that you were mistaken.
But, Susan, I've only just managed to convince them that I did see a leopard. They'll never believe me.
Oh,
now.
Well, I'll fix that, David. I'll tell them that you're a drug addict, that you're always seeing things. What's
the number? Never mind. Give me that. Nothing of us. Hello. Hello, operator.
Hello.
Get me Westlake, 284. I don't know what I'm going to tell them here.
Oh,
but
never mind, David, what you're going to tell.
Hello? Hello, is that Zoo? Well, nobody's talking, baby talk. Well, I'm the man that called up about the leopard. You don't have to do anything about it. It's all been a mistake. Yes. Well, stop them for...
What's the matter?
Oh, my...
What did he say?
Oh, it's too late. It was the night watchman. He said everybody's gone. They're all out leopard hunting.
Oh, jeepers. You've gotten us into a wonderful mess.
Well, I got
to... Let's see before we act.
You think. You can think faster than I can.
Thank you, David. Now, what do you take with you when you go to catch a leopard?
A bigger leopard.
Well, one thing's certain. We've got to catch him before they do.
Oh, I've got to watch George. I can't...
You take George with us.
Oh, my God.
Arnie, Mr. Bond and I are going to take George for a walk. Where's the leash?
Oh, my goodness.
What's the matter?
Well, where's George?
Where's George?
Now, why this morbid interest in George?
Well, I've got to find him.
What for?
Oh, because he knows where my intercostal clavicle is.
Your what?
David, don't talk to anybody.
Major Appletree, you promised to watch George.
Well, I did.
But you didn't.
Oh, yes, I did.
Well, where is he?
He's gone.
Gone where?
Yeah, out that door.
Why didn't you take him to the prison?
Well, not that door. That door.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, that's right.
They dash out.
Oh, I can't stand this another moment. Harris, come along. Let's get some fresh air.
Yes, shall we run?
Yes.
Yeah.
Later, outside.
I can't understand, Elizabeth, why a loon would answer a leopard's cry. There's something wrong, you know.
Well, they both sound exactly alike to me.
Pardon me, Elizabeth, please. The leopard's cry is entirely different, you know. As I explained to you in there, the leopard's cry goes like this.
He brings his fingers to his mouth.
A terrible noise. I don't see how you do it.
It's done largely with the palate, you see. Oh. Of course, the hands play an important part in the resonance and carrying power.
But why do you put your thumbs together like that?
Well, you see, the thumbs, it is very necessary that the base of the thumbs are close together like that. You see, that brings out a sort of a pear-shaped tone, you see? Mm-hmm. Now, having done this, you take a deep breath, keep the throat well open, and out comes... Oh, my. Why, that's fine, Elizabeth. For one who hasn't had any practice. Really, it is. I think you've got something there.
Got what?
The mating cry.
Now, don't be rude, Horace.
Well, Elizabeth, I'm not rude. I was merely alluding to the scream that you did just now.
I didn't scream.
You didn't scream?
I certainly did not.
You didn't scream?
No. I ought to know if I scream.
Well, then there must be something wrong here.
Wrong? Well, I should say so.
Applegate gapes at the leopard.
Ever since I came into the house, there's been something wrong.
Elizabeth,
it's been bedlam.
Elizabeth, don't you think it's time we went in the house?
No, we've only just left the house.
But don't you think it's a good idea to go back?
No, I think it's a good idea to continue our walk.
But don't you find it a bit chilly without a gun, Elizabeth?
Now, David and Susan hike through the woods with a butterfly net and rope.
Plenty of baby.
George!
Dream a while. Why don't you sing, David?
Oh, I can't
dream
sing.
Dream a while. Yes, you can. You have a fine, strong voice.
Yeah, but not for singing.
It's not fair. You're just being stubborn.
That's a dog.
George.
Oh!
George! George! What's the matter?
Something moved in that bush.
Oh. Let me go first.
Wielding the rope and a croquet mallet, he skulks forward. As Susan follows him, her long dress drags on the ground. In a thicket, David lets a branch swing behind him, and it whacks Susan in the face.
David.
More branches hit her.
David, don't you think it'd be better if I went first?
Oh, no, Susan, you might get hurt.
Another branch.
Thank you, David.
She crawls behind him.
I can't see a thing.
Neither can I.
Susan, are you sure you saw something move in here? Because I can't... Well, Susan, where are you?
Here I am.
Susan, this is no time to be playing squat tag.
I'm not playing. I'm caught on something, David. Help me, will you?
No.
Help me, will you?
No. Oh, that's poison ivy.
I bet you wouldn't treat Miss Swallow this way.
I'll bet Miss Swallow knows poison ivy when she sees it.
Yes, I bet poison ivy runs when it sees her.
I didn't come out here to discuss Miss Swallow. I came out to look for George, and I'm going to find him if I can ever get to... Oh!
He slips down a boulder.
Oh, David, are you all right?
Oh, don't laugh.
Can't help it. Oh, you look so silly.
She slides down beside David, landing the net over his head. Susan points at him and slaps her knee while David glowers through the netting.
Oh, David, you see, I'm sorry. That's so funny.
She pulls off the net, and David pretends to strangle her.
Hey, wait a minute, did you hear that? That's baby.
It's George, too.
Oh, you don't suppose that... I can't give you anything but
love. Shut up!
They run to a stream.
Oh, look!
On the far bank, Baby wrestles with George. The leopard swats playfully, and the terrier tumbles over him.
Look, David, they like each other.
Yes, but goodness knows how long that's going to last.
George nips at Baby's spotted face. The leopard bats him away.
Oh, in another minute, my intercostal clavicle will be gone forever.
They watch little George lunge at the leopard.
Hit George! Hit George! Come in!
Oh, Susan.
The terrier springs at Baby. The leopard rolls on its back and paws at him.
Susan, is there any way to cross this stream?
Oh, surely it's shallow. We can wade across.
Oh, so good.
They sink underwater.
Oh, God.
The riverbed's changed.
Oh, the riverbed's changed.
They clamber ashore.
Did we get across?
No, Susan. We're right back where we started, only we're wet. Now George and Baby have disappeared.
Well, while you were about it, you might as well have gotten to the other side.
Well, while I'm wet, I'm going to go to the other side.
Oh, well, don't leave me.
She dives after him, and they climb up the far bank. Later, they dry themselves by a campfire.
You know, David, if we'd had a bathhouse, why, this wouldn't have been so complicated.
Next time, I'll try and arrange one. Or perhaps there are portable bathhouses for people like you. There must be.
She dries a sock over the fire.
David, don't be so grouchy. We could have such fun. This moonlight and everything is so lovely. And I do so like being with you.
You do. Well, I like peace and quiet.
But it's peaceful and quiet here.
Oh, well... Let's just stay here and let George and Baby look for us.
Oh, David, your sock's on fire.
Oh, that's all right. I don't care anymore.
She tosses his other sock onto the fire.
That's fine. Throw the other one in.
Oh, that's true. You could have... Oh, well, don't be upset, David.
Oh, well, who wouldn't be? My goodness, Susan, here I am trying to help you find a leopard so that your Aunt Elizabeth won't be angry at you. And then she'll probably give you the $1 million that I need for my museum. Well, if you'd planned it, you couldn't have ruined my chances more completely. You told your aunt I was crazy, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
You told her my name was Bone and you didn't tell me. You told her I was a big game hunter and you didn't tell me. You tell anybody anything that comes into your head and you don't tell me.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Here's something else I didn't tell you either.
What now?
Mr. Peabody is coming to see Aunt Elizabeth tonight.
Oh, dear. Oh, well, that's the end. That's the end, that's all. Peabody's sure to tell your aunt who I am. Yeah? He'll never remember those 4 years' hard work I put in on that brontosaurus. No. No. All he'll remember is that I conked him on the head with a rock last night, he thinks.
Here.
Oh.
Where's that music coming from, David?
Westlake. There's a circus there, a circus.
At the circus, the manager meets two men by a leopard cage.
They've just escaped from the palace of a sheik.
Joe, we got a job for you. The boss wants you to take this leopard over to Bridgeport.
What happened?
He just gave that new trainer a going over.
Hurt him bad?
Bad? You don't think 3 minutes alone with that cat did him any good, do you?
Yeah, they should have shot him last summer when he ripped up Cal Dooney.
Well, what do we do with him?
Here, deliver him to this address. They've got a gas chamber. I phoned over. You go along too, Mac.
Who, me?
You heard what I said.
Where is Bridgeport?
How should I know? Somewhere out on the state highway. Ask somebody and get going.
Back in the woods.
Well, that's that. Come on, Susan, let's get going.
All right.
You sure you don't want my coat?
No, David, I'm completely dry already.
Well, let's go.
Hey, I wonder what that is.
They watch a truck slow to a stop. Mac and Joe sit in the cab.
Hey, Mac, see what that sign says.
David, it's the zoo truck.
Is it?
They've got Baby.
Oh. Oh, is George with him?
No, I can't see George, but we've got to get Baby away from them.
Oh, no. All I promised to do was help you find Baby. Well, you found him.
Now, listen. All you have to do is to go and talk to those men in the front of the truck while I let Baby out the back. Give me that rope. You take this.
Well, I know, but what'll I say to them?
Well, they're from the zoo. Tell them you're a zoologist. Talk about zoos. Well, Go ahead. Come on.
Mac and Joe study a map.
I can't find Bridgeport.
You got the map upside down.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello.
May I help you?
Yeah, do you know the way to Bridgeport?
I'm not going to Bridgeport.
No, not you. We're going to Bridgeport. Do you know which way it is?
Yes.
It's that way, ain't it?
Yes.
You see?
But I thought it was that way.
Mac points the other way.
Well, yes, it is.
There, I told you.
Around back, Susan opens the leopard's cage.
Oh, well.
Now, come on. Come on. I'll get this around your neck. That's a good boy.
She holds a looped rope.
Hey, what's the big idea? Get away from me. Put your head through again, I'll take you back. Oh.
The leopard hops out of the truck and heads for the woods. As Susan follows, she trips.
This guy ain't got all his buttons.
Well, now, we have found distinct evidence.
Yes,
now, well, I just explained to these gentlemen.
No, we have found distinct evidence.
Oh, escape. Yeah. Shall we help you tie him up, lady?
Oh, no, not me. No, you're mistaken, gentlemen. Well, good night, gentlemen. Good night.
The escaped leopard climbs up on a stone wall.
Over there. Oh, we're on the right track now, David, I'm sure.
The leopard hides behind the stone wall.
Down this way.
Well, I'll try over here anyway.
Oh, Susan, I'm absolutely certain the sounds came from down this way. Oh, what's that?
Somebody's shooting at him.
With Gogarty, Applegate aims his rifle.
Please stand back, please. I won't miss him this time.
No, but you don't understand. We're trying to catch that leopard.
Well, so am I.
It's a tame leopard.
Yeah, I don't like to say, sir, at this moment, sir, but everybody knows you're crazy.
Please don't do that.
Susan, please.
Well, Susan, why don't you explain to Major Applegate, and then perhaps you'll catch your leopard.
Listen, Major Applegate, you know that Aunt Elizabeth was expecting a leopard from Brazil, don't you?
I had heard that,
well,
yes.
That's her leopard, and it's tame.
Impossible. There can be no such thing as a tame... A tame leopard?
A tame leopard. We had it locked up and it escaped.
Are you sure it's quite harmless?
Absolutely.
Well, my goodness, why didn't you say so in the first place?
Well, I was trying to...
Well, I apologize to you, Mr. Boney.
No,
I really
thank you
do.
Very much.
Even though it is tame, I think we should try to catch it, don't you?
Yes, but which way did it go?
That way.
Oh. Well, we'll go in that direction, you go in that one. Come on,
yes,
David.
Yes.
Remember, don't shoot.
Oh, no, of course not.
David and Susan run off.
George!
I knew all the time you stayed.
Oh, is that so?
Yes, I
patted him on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Stretched me hand right out.
The leopard approaches.
He's as gentle as a kitten.
Gentle as a kitten? Well, of course, I don't know why you didn't mention all this before.
There he is.
Hmm. Well, this'll all be quite simple. Let me have that rope, will you? Now, you hold the gun. We shan't need that any further. Now, Gogarty, you stand perfectly still and leave everything to me. I've had vast experience in these matters. Here, kitty, 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 kitty.
As he nears, kitty, the leopard kitty. Bares its teeth.
Don't you fool me. You're not afraid of me now, are you? Come, puss, puss, puss. You say you patted this beast?
Well, in a manner of speaking, I did.
Personally, Gogarty, I think you're a liar.
The men dash off, and the leopard chases them at an easy trot.
Get out of my way!
Elsewhere.
You see him, David?
No.
Oh, dear, I seem to have lost my sense of direction. I wonder where we are.
Well, my rough guess is somewhere near the Canadian border by now.
Oh, no, David, we...
She falls and knocks him over.
Oh, my glasses! Don't move, Susan! My glasses!
Oh, here they are, David, here they are. Oh, David, they're broken. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, it doesn't make any difference. The things I've been doing today, I could do just as well with my eyes shut.
Well, anyway, David, you look much handsomer without them.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, look, David, I've lost my heel. I've lost my heel. Look at me walk.
She bounces up and down in an uneven marsh.
Susan!
I was born on the side of a hill.
Susan, stop!
I was born on the side of a hill.
Susan, stop! Now, look, Susan, we're not getting anywhere like this. Now, you must be very tired, and I suggest that you go home.
Oh, but David, we can't quit now. Now, we've let a wild animal loose on an innocent countryside. We can't just go home and sleep. It wouldn't be right.
You misunderstand me. I want you to go home.
But, you mean you want me to go home?
Yes.
You mean you don't want me to help you anymore?
No.
After all the fun we've had?
Yes.
And after all the things I've done for you?
Well, that's what I mean.
Well, all right. I know enough to go when I'm not wanted. And don't you worry about me. I can take care of myself.
She trips over a log. Oh, he goes to her.
Susan, are you all right?
Yes,
did
I'm
you hurt all right.
No, I didn't hurt myself. It's not that. It's just that I'm miserable. Because you don't like me anymore.
Oh, yes, I do, Susan.
You tried to get rid of me, and you just think of me, and you don't like me anymore.
But your face is dirty, Susan.
He wipes her cheeks.
Oh, now you're being nice to me, and after all the horrible things I've done to you,
stop crying, Susan, please.
It's just that everything I do with the best intentions seems to turn out badly.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Oh, David, please let me come with you. Oh, David.
Their lips nearly touch.
Well, all right, Susan, you can come with me.
Are you sure you want me?
Yes, yes.
Positive?
Yes, you can come. Come on.
Well, don't you worry, David. Because if there's anything that I can do to help you, just let me know and I'll do it.
Well, don't do it until I let you know.
Later, they find George in the yard of a house. David sets down the croquet mallet and butterfly net, then picks up the dog.
Oh, look, David! Baby's on the roof.
A leopard steps out onto a gable.
Come on, baby, come on down. Come on. Oh, David, make him get down.
I suppose you'd like me to climb up and push him down. Oh.
Well, maybe we better sing. I can't give you any... Well, sing, David.
I can't give you anything but love, baby. That's the only thing I can give you, baby. Dream a while, scheme a mile. Find happiness, and I guess all those things you always find for. They expect to see you looking swell, baby.
Dr. Fritz Lehmann looks out a second floor window. He wears a robe over his pajamas.
Till that lucky day ain't no darn well.
Oh, baby!
David runs off.
David, where is Owen?
I'll be back.
Oh, dear. I can't give you anything but
love. Not you, it. I can't.
What are you doing, may I ask?
Singing. You anything but love.
If you are paying a bet, there must be somewhere else you can pay.
Only. I'm not paying a bet. There's a leopard on your roof. Oh,
I am not going to bandy words with you at this time at night.
No, while there is a leopard on your roof, and it's my leopard, and I have to get it, and to get it, I have to sing. You're
there's
sure
nothing
you're
on
fine.
My roof.
Come on, you fool. There's nothing on your roof.
No.
All right, there's nothing on your roof. Happiness and I guess all those things you
poor
always
dear.
Pine
you better go down,
for.
Fritz.
Gee, it's great to
sing
see
if you like,
you
dear.
Thank you, swell. Baby, you can sing too.
Diamond Fritz comes outside.
Woolworths never sell. Baby. Oh, baby, don't. Oh, why did you have to do that? You frightened him away.
Quiet, it's all right.
It's not all right.
You don't worry.
Well, I have to worry. I lost my leopard. Oh, please help me find him.
I certainly will. You just come with me.
But you don't understand. He went that way.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, yes, he did. I saw him.
Oh, you're wrong. He's up there. What? See him? There.
Where?
There, peeking around the corner. See it?
No, I don't. Hey. Hey! There's nothing there. There's nothing there.
Oh, yes, there's. You
now
just
you
come along
go.
Into the house
you
and
let me
find
go.
Him.
I don't
you
want
come
to
along.
You don't seem to understand that there's $1 million at stake.
$1 million?
Yes.
Well, you'll get it. We have it right in there. All in $1 bills. Now, you just come along.
Oh, no, don't do this to me. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, this is awful.
He hustles her inside. Now, as David sneaks out of the bushes with George under his arm, a constable and his deputy pull up. They watch David peek in a window.
Peeping Tom. Peeping Tom, eh? Get your gun out and we'll nab him.
They draw their pistols and sneak up on David, who stares into the layman's house.
Stick him up, I guess.
David drops George.
Grab him now, Mark. Tell him.
George! Don't go away, George!
Don't argue. Inside.
Later, David sits in a jail cell. Next door, Susan tries to pick her lock.
What are you doing?
I have a hairpin.
Oh.
Well, I did it once with the trunk. Anyway, David, when they find out who we are, why, they'll let us out.
When they find out who you are, they'll pad the cell.
She smirks. Now the constable on the phone.
We picked up a girl who says she's your niece. Now the question is, have you or have you not got a niece?
Of course I have a niece, but she's not singing around under windows. She's decently in bed.
I wouldn't be too sure, Elizabeth.
Oh, Horace, do be quiet. I'll talk to you presently.
Now, lady, do you definitely refuse to come down and identify this girl?
If you continue to annoy me about this girl, who is no responsibility of mine, I'll have you arrested. The idea.
Hello. She says her niece is in bed.
Uh-huh. Just what I expected. That girl is lying.
Doc, I think you're right. I think they're both lying.
Now, what are you going to do about it?
Well, what would you do?
Find out the truth.
You're right. I'll get back and have a little talk with them. Come on, Elmer. Open her up.
They go to the cells.
Now, Look here, you two. Get your ears up like a rabbit, because we've got something to tell you. If you ever want to get out of this jail, you better listen.
I'm listening.
Quiet, young lady. I'm going to get to you later. I want you to tell me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Well, what did my aunt say?
Be quiet, please.
What did my aunt say?
Your aunt? Why, she said... Now, young lady, you haven't got an aunt.
But I certainly have got an aunt.
Quiet, please. Now, look here, young fella. I want you to tell me just exactly what were you doing tonight.
Well, yes, we were hunting for a leopard.
You were hunting for a leopard. Mm-hmm. Now, look here. Look here, young lady. Now, you know, that's silly. There never was a leopard in the whole state of Connecticut.
Well, there is now.
Yeah. Now, young lady, listen here. I'm going to stay here if it takes all year. I am waiting for you to tell the truth.
Oh, if you're going to wait for her to tell the truth, you'll have a long gray beard down to here.
You know, it's a funny thing. My grandfather had... Quiet! Young man, listen. I don't want any more slick remarks out of you. Well, this is a jail. I want you to have a little respect for the law.
I'm just trying to explain, Mr. Constable. You see, it all started over at my... at her aunt's house.
Her aunt's house, yes.
You see, her aunt promised to give me a lot of...
Hold on there, bub. Just a minute. She hasn't got an aunt.
I certainly have. She's my father's sister. Now, look here, Constable. Come over here. Young lady. Stop wasting your time. Now, it's quiet.
Yes, now, look here.
You want us to get out of here, don't you?
Oh, lady, yes, I certainly do.
Well, now, I gave you my aunt's telephone number, didn't I?
Yep.
And you called her up, didn't you?
I sure did.
And what did she say?
Well, she said that you were home in bed.
Then what am I doing here?
Well, you're here because your aunt, she could... No, confound it! lady, you know that you haven't got an aunt.
But if I did have an aunt...
She'd muzzle you.
Now, look here, you can't talk to me that way. Oh, now, how do you know we were doing anything
but wandering
around?
I don't like to see young people in trouble. I have children of my own.
Listen, I don't care anything about your family.
David leans on his cell door, and it opens. Stepping out, he taps the constable on the shoulder.
Go away,
please.
Oh, shut up, David.
Now, David, please be quiet.
Now, let me tell you what happened. We left New York at 11 o'clock this morning in a...
Now, look, see, you're not going to get anywhere with her. You just come with me.
That's better.
David brings him into his cell.
Speak up, speak fast.
Help me!
He runs out and slams the door.
Lock him up. Well, now, please. Fine, officer, you are locking up a dangerous criminal without locking him up.
It's not locked.
Yeah, huh?
It's not locked.
Oh, thank you.
An officer hauls Gogarty into the station.
I'm a senior in the car. You've absolutely no right to do that. No, I certainly pulled this out here. In the car.
Yeah. There's something for you, Constable.
Well, what's the charge?
We caught him just as he was driving up in front of the meat market in Dr. Lehman's stolen car.
So you're a car thief, huh? No man is going to call on a wish to go with a car thief. Come on.
Have him, have him. Lock him up.
The officer picks up Gogarty and throws him into a cell.
Hold you for a while.
Hello, Gogarty.
Miss Susan, how did you get here?
Influence.
Don't worry, Gogarty, I'll get you out.
Oh, sure. Look, she got me out.
Say, hold on here. Do you know this young lady?
Of course I do. Don't I work for her ranch?
You what?
Don't I work for her ranch?
Now, look here. If one more person mentions that she's got an aunt, I'll put you all on bread and water for 30 days.
Elizabeth enters.
Well, where is everyone? Who's in charge here?
Right in there. Hey, Constable.
What do you mean by locking up my niece? I won't stand for it. Give me the keys. Come along.
You're hysterical. Say, what is it you want?
She wants her niece.
I certainly do. I want my niece right here.
Who is your niece?
You give us a description of her and they find her. She's about
Elizabeth,
so tall.
Elizabeth, is that you?
There she is now.
Hold on now. Just a minute. Lady, tell me. Who are you?
I am Mrs. Carlton Random and I want my niece.
Oh, so you're Mrs. Carlton Random.
I certainly am.
And you say your niece is here?
She certainly is.
Ha! That's where I got you. The young lady we got here ain't got no aunt. And you're not Mrs. Carlton Random because I talked to Mrs. Carlton Random on the telephone not 10 minutes ago.
I ought to know who I am.
Yes, you should, Elizabeth, I think. You did talk to her 10 minutes ago on the telephone, that's right.
Yeah, how do you know?
Yeah, I was there.
Who are you?
I'm the niece. I'm the aunt. I am Major Horace Applegate of the Explorers Club.
What are you doing with that gun?
I have been hunting leopards.
Oh, you've been hunting leopards?
I said so. I've been hunting leopards, yes.
Any luck?
Well, not what I'm accustomed to, no. I have been a bit confused regarding the leopards. The leopards here.
Boys?
You have something on your mind, haven't you?
Officers restrain him. Later, the constable talks on the phone.
Not so fast, lady. We just want to find out. This old battle axe we got here keeps yelling that she's Mrs. Random.
But that's ridiculous. Mrs. Random is in bed. And don't you be calling up here again. Good night.
Hannah hangs up.
Good night. Well, just as you said, Doc, they're all lying.
Obviously. I have no doubt you will find you made a very important haul.
Yeah, thanks to you, Doc.
If you get their confessions, Constable, there'll be a lot of things you'll turn up.
Yeah, well, I'll try it again. Come on, boys.
Dr. Lehman follows the constable back to the cells.
Quiet! Now, look here, I warn you. The first one lets a squeak out of him, I'm going to put in solitary confinement. I'm going to ask this young man a few questions, and I want absolute quiet. Now, young man, you said your name is Bone. Do you stick to it? Well, if you're any good, we don't believe you. We know that's an alias. Now, we know that ain't your right name.
You're all impersonating somebody.
What were you doing trying to break into Dr. Lehman's house?
I was after a leopard.
Leopard. Hey, doctor, still stick to it.
All agreed on one story.
How about that bank robbery in Old Town?
Oh, what about it? How much did they get?
Oh, they got a pretty penny. Must have got 5,600. Say, who's asking these questions, you or me? Who was with you last month in Rockdale in that mail truck job?
Mickey the Mouse and Donald the Duck.
Mickey the Mouse and Donald the Duck. Doc, make a note of them names. Now, you're beginning to talk, we're getting someplace. Now, young fella, speak up. Quiet, lady. I'm waiting for you.
Hey!
Quiet, lady. Speak up now.
Hey, Flatfoot! Yeah. You ain't getting no place. Come here.
Me?
Yes, you. Come on. Haul it over. You want someone to talk, don't you?
Well, it's about time. I certainly do.
Yeah, well, get me out of this cooler and I'll unbutton my puss and shoot the works.
You'll up... Say, hold on, lady. I thought that you were... But... Hey, you ain't no lady.
Yeah, I kind of had your fool for a minute, didn't I?
You sure did.
Make a sucker out of a copper. What did I tell you my name was?
Why, your name is... Doc, what's your name?
Susan Vance.
Susan Vance.
bump, giddy bump. Christmas society, Monica. But the marble calls me Swingin' Door Susie.
Swingin' Door Susie?
Now do you pick me? Come on, Toots, open up. Open up.
Stop that. I'm not opening any doors around here until you promise to talk.
Listen, I'll talk so much it'll make your hair curl.
You'll talk. You hear that, Doc? She's promised to talk. All right, I'll open her up.
Susan, it won't work. Whatever it is, it won't work.
Swingin' Door Susie hasn't stopped yet. I'm out this far, ain't I? Well, so long, gang. I'm not taking the rap for this job. It's every man for himself.
Now, quiet. You know what I told you in a minute. I'll see you too.
Quit beefing. Get wise to yourself. The heat's on, Jerry.
Jerry? Ain't his name Bone?
Well, of course it isn't Bone. You mean to say you don't remember Jerry the Nipper?
Jerry the Nipper? Make a note of that, Doc.
Constable, she's making all this up out of motion pictures,
she's seen. Oh, I suppose I saw you with that red-headed skirt in a motion picture.
There you are, Doc. Another woman.
Sure. I wouldn't be squealing if he hadn't given me the runaround for that other twist.
Oh, so he's a lady killer. Huh?
A lady killer? Why, he's a regular darn swan. Loves the ladies, don't you, honey? He bops them over. 1, 2, 3, boom. Just like that. He's a wolf.
I'm a wolf.
David curls up on his cot.
I'll take you back to birdseed.
Now, Susie, I want you to tell the truth. You understand? You'll never get into trouble. I noticed you're limping there. Suppose you got shot in one of them stick-ups.
No, I lost my heel.
Well, don't bother about him. Just sit right down there. Come on, Doc, grab this chair. Here, Elmer, grab a hold of that typewriter. I want to get this whole thing now in affidavit form. Now, look here, young lady. I want you to talk.
Then I'll talk.
I don't smoke cigarettes.
Well, I guess this will have to do.
She takes a cigar from his jacket.
What's that?
2 for a nickel. Give me a match.
Here. Now, look here. I'm not going to stand for that in this jail.
No smoky, no talky. Put me back in the cell. Wrap me up again. Ain't going to talk unless I have a cigarette.
Now, hold here. Just sit down. Sit down. She won't talk without a seat. Here, Doc, give her one of them cigarettes.
She mouths a cigarette and pockets the doctor's case.
Why, we'll make it as easy as we can. Hey! My case, if you please.
Oh, well. Now, there I go again. Sorry, boys. Forced to have it. Forgot where I was for a minute.
She lights up.
Hey.
How about a little fresh air? It's kind of hot in here.
Yes, it is a little bit muggy, isn't it? It's always that way around here at this time of year.
He opens a window.
The humidity. Now, what about the Cleghorn jewels?
That's hot ice, mister. We're waiting for it to cool off.
We're waiting for it to cool... Where? What do you mean, we?
The gang, all of us.
You mean to say that you all belong to the same gang?
Sure, the Leopard Gang, organized in Buffalo.
The Leopard Gang, that's what I'm after, Doc. We'll round them all up with one fell swoop. You got that down?
I got it.
Fine. How about you, Elmer?
Not so fast, Ed. This is new to me.
Say, hold on, you fool. You can't spell leopard with a U.
How do you spell it?
W.
What about that bank robbery?
Boy, wasn't that a honey? Wasn't that a pip? But your job has never been pulled in this neck of the woods. Jerry was the inside man on that job.
Oh, he was he? Were you there, too?
Sure, what do you think? I'm a one-man woman. Where my man goes, I go. And if I don't need a
baby-faced Horace, he's the trigger man, the drunk...
Wait a minute, you're talking too fast.
As the men gather together, Susan climbs out the window and runs off.
I only got as far as the Cleghorn jewel. Now I got to say it all. Now, young lady, say... Oh, there she goes.
He's got my car again.
Yeah, go on, boys, after her. Hurry up, get her.
Deputies scramble to a car.
Go get her, boys. Go get her. If you don't bring her back, there's going to be a shake-up in this department. Elmer, go get her. Fine, keep up. I get my hands in her. I'll lock her up. Yes, ma'am. What do you want?
I'm looking for...
Now, don't tell me that you're looking for a leopard to buy, Jingo. I'll lock you up.
I'm looking for Mrs. Carlton Random.
Well, so's everybody else. Let me tell you, she's not here.
I have reason to believe she is here.
Say, who are you?
I'm her attorney, Alexander Peabody.
And I'm Miss Swallow. I'm looking for a man by the name of Dr. Huxley. Dr. David Huxley. Is he here with Mrs. Random?
Now, lady, look here. The only folks we got here is an old woman who keeps saying that she's Mrs. Random. Then we got a gangster here by the name of Bone. Then we have Babyface Horace. And stop it. Then we have a... Stop! What is it you want?
I can identify this gentleman. You may remember, Mr. Peabody, I testified for you during the breaking of the Borden will.
Yes, I remember. I demand to see my client at once.
Slocum, you may have made a mistake.
And if you have made a mistake... Your position as constable in this county will be in serious jeopardy.
Are you sure that he's the old lady's attorney?
Positively.
Election next week, too. Mr. Peabody, you just step right inside here now, and we'll straighten this thing out.
They go into the station and back to the cells.
Well, here you are. Now, is she or ain't she Mrs. Random?
Well, Alec, it's just about time you came.
Of course she's Mrs. Random. This is absurd. Open that door at once.
Well, all right. What about him?
David, I don't understand. You
Well, Alec, it's just one of those things. I can't explain it. It happened, and here I am.
Yes, and in the last place in the world I expected to find you.
Yes, well, I don't like it any better than you do.
Really, David? And let that young man out, too.
Oh, shucks. Looks like I got the whole thing fuddled up. Well, I'm sorry. That's all I can say about it.
You haven't heard the end of this either, huh? Huxley! What did you mean by throwing rocks at me last night?
Well, you mean to tell me that this is the young man you wanted me to donate $1 million to for his museum?
Yeah, sure. No, I did, but I've changed my mind.
David, what have you done?
Just name anything and I've done it.
Outside, Mac and Joe get out of the zoo truck.
Hey, Joe, what are you going to tell him?
Tell him the truth. We lost the leopard.
They head into the station. Behind them, a leopard and George the dog follow them in.
Hey, are you the constable around here?
Well, I am until the next election anyway. What is it you want?
Well, we need some help.
Well, that's what I'm here for, to serve the public. What is it?
Well, we're looking for...
Now, don't tell me that you're looking for a leopard.
How did you know that?
Know what?
That we're looking for a leopard.
Now, look here. This is going far enough. There are no leopards in the state of Connecticut.
Gaping at the leopard, the constable drops his keys and climbs up a cell door.
Look out, everybody! That's a bad cat. Somebody get a gun. He's a killer.
Don't be alarmed, Alice. There's no need to be frightened, gentlemen. Everything's going to be all right. Hello, baby.
David pets the leopard.
Is this my leopard?
Yes, that's baby.
He didn't act that way with me.
Wait a minute. That ain't my leopard.
Well, of course it isn't. That's why I took it out of the truck.
You never let that one out of the truck. You couldn't touch our cat with a 10-foot pole.
You mean to say there's another leopard?
That's what I'm trying to tell you. Our cat came from the circus. He just clawed a man. He's bad.
Oh, my goodness. Susan's out trying to catch the wrong leopard. Oh, poor darling Susan. She's in danger and she's helpless without me.
Outside, Susan leads the other leopard by a rope.
Come on.
As she tugs hard, the stubborn leopard lies down.
Oh, what's the matter with you? You've been slapping at me the whole way. Now, come on, we've got to get in here, and you might as well come without being stubborn. Now, listen, I'm just as determined as you are, so you might just as well come with me.
She pulls it into the station.
I don't like Claire any more than you do. This is where we've got to be. Hey, David!
The others scramble into cells for safety.
Well, did I fool you this time? You thought I was doing the wrong thing, but I've got him.
Oh, you haven't, Susan.
David points to Baby, who follows George into a cell. Gogarty and Applegate dash out, leaving the constable behind.
Boys, don't leave me here. Don't leave me here.
Susan gapes at her snarling leopard. Dropping the rope, she starts to tremble. He charges gallantly in front of her. Brandishing a chair like a sword, he pokes at the leopard.
Run, Susan! No!
Run away, have the
chance! No, I won't leave you! I love you!
Run!
The leopard advances. David and Susan shuffle back toward the cells.
Shoot!
As the leopard backs them against the bars, David waves the chair at it.
Poke him, David! Poke him!
Oh, let go, Susan, please!
No!
Please run back there. Can't you see I'm trying to get into a cell?
The leopard slinks into a cell.
Get in there! Get the key, Susan!
He holds the cell door shut.
Oh, give it to me.
He locks up.
Oh, David. Oh, you're wonderful. Oh, you're wonderful. You're absolutely wonderful. You're a hero. You saved my life. Oh, you'll go down in history. I've never seen such bravery in my... Did you want to say something, David?
Well, I...
What? Yes?
He faints into her arms.
What was it? Oh!
Hey, Mac!
David, you say...
Later at the museum.
Well, there's nothing else I can say, except that I'm glad that before our marriage, you showed yourself up in your true colors. You're just a butterfly.
Oh, now I'm a butterfly.
David watches Alice stride briskly out the door. Bowing his head, he sits on a platform beside a miniature brontosaurus, then props his chin on his hand.
David!
Susan bursts in.
Oh.
He hurries up scaffolding near the huge dinosaur skeleton.
Oh, where are you going, David? Well, don't go up there. I want to talk to you. See, I've got it. But, David, I can't even see you now. Where are you? Oh, there you are. David, I followed George around for 3 days, and I dug holes with him, and he dug holes with me, and then he came and put it in my shoe.
She shows him the bone.
Oh.
Oh, well, David, don't be mad at me.
Thank you very much, Susan. Put it down there on the table and go away.
Mm-hmm. Hey, but wait a minute. I don't want to go away. I want to talk to you.
Write me a letter.
She climbs up to him.
Go back, Susan. Go.
Jesus, it's high up here.
Whew. Susan, now look, please go back down the ladder quietly.
Well, when I go down quietly, David. But I want to find out something first. Why did you run up that ladder when I came in here?
Well, if you must know, I'm afraid of you.
But, David, if you're afraid of me, well, then that's the same as admitting that
her ladder sways.
Well, don't worry, David. Everything's going to be all right.
Every time you say that, something happens. Now, please go down, because you've already cost the museum $1 million.
Oh, no, I haven't, David. I've got $1 million. Aunt Elizabeth gave it to me, and I'm going to give it to you for the museum.
Oh, well, I'm sure they'll be very pleased.
Aren't you pleased, David?
Yes, I suppose so, dear.
It's too late, isn't it? I've made a mess of everything, haven't I?
Oh, no.
I was so happy when I found the bone this morning. Oh, David, if I could only make you understand. You see, all that happened because I was trying to keep you near me, and I just did anything that came into my head. I'm so sorry.
But I ought to thank you.
Thank me?
Yes.
For what?
You see, well, I just discovered that was the best day I ever had in my whole life.
David, you don't mean it.
I never had a better time.
Oh, but I was there.
Well, that's what made it so good.
Oh, did you really have a good time?
Yes, I did.
She happily sways her ladder.
You realize what that means? That means that you must like me a little bit.
Susan, it's more than that.
Is it?
Yes, I love you, I think.
Oh, that's wonderful, because I love you, too. Stop rocking, Dave.
Oh, I'm not rocking. I...
She nearly falls.
Oh!
The ladder sways farther back and forth, and she clings on. Getting off the ladder, she climbs onto the skeleton.
Susan! Susan! Oh, Susan!
She kneels on the big bone spine, and he reaches for her.
Susan, please! Look out, Susan! Susan!
David grabs her hand as the huge skeleton collapses. She dangles from his grip.
Hold on, Susan! Hold on! Don't let go!
He pulls her onto the scaffolding platform.
Oh, David, can you ever forgive me?
I...
You can. And you still love me.
Susan, that...
You do? David.
Oh, dear. Oh, my.
He wraps his arms around her and they embrace. Words appear. The end. Now a logo. RKO Radio Pictures. Credits appear. Cast: Katherine Hepburn as Susan, Cary Grant as David, Charles Ruggles as Major Applegate, Walter Catlett as Slocum, Barry Fitzgerald as Mr. Gogarty, Mae Robson as Aunt Elizabeth, Fritz Feld as Dr. Lehman, Leona Roberts as Mrs. Gogarty, George Irving as Mr. Peabody, Tala Burrell as Mrs. Lehman, Virginia Walker as Alice Swallow, and John Kelly as Elmer.